You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. It is a Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, Winky Wednesday special. Nick Winkler joining Eric Crocker and myself for another little podcast. We're here. Week one is coming. So we're going to get Wink's prediction for the weekend. Croc and I are going to save our predictions for later in the week. We're going to have Matt Derry on the program Thursday for our crossovers, as we'll do every week, chatting with the host of the opponent's program right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and then the final injury report and our final thoughts and predictions and everything going into previewing week one against the Lions on Friday's program. And everything's coming out a little bit early, as we've been doing so far with Croc, which I like. So this Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, Winky Wednesday program, let's just get into it. A little bit of news and notes, and then our predictions for the 2021 season on this roundtable with today's guest,
Nicholas Winkler. Come on down.
Woo! Wink, what do you got? Niners? Are the Lions going to upset the Niners in week one? What do you think here? What's going on? You got any good vibes coming into the season for 2021? Niners running the table, maybe 17-0, first ever team to win 17 games in a regular season. How do you see this one?
Man, you just stole all my thunder. Obviously, yeah, that was what I was going to do.
Well, let's pause on it. Let's tease that. We'll find out what Nick's picks are a little bit later, because I want to talk about some of the things that are happening in practice this week that might impact the way you feel about things that are happening this season.
All right.
So, the 49ers added Josh Norman. Croc and I talked about Norman. Dante Johnson was cut. Dante Johnson now has signed back with the 49ers practice squad to make room on the practice squad. They have released rookie undrafted linebacker Elijah Sullivan. And the 49ers get to protect four players every week. So that's how it works with the practice squad. You get to protect four guys that can't be stolen by other teams. So essentially you get, you know, a 57-man roster, because you can keep four guys and protect the same guys all year long and never get somebody stolen away. Those protections have been announced for the 49ers, and they are protecting their QB3, Nate Sudfeld, punt returner Travis Benjamin, cornerback D. Virgin, who we've not really talked about at all. I don't know if you have a scouting report on D. Virgin, Croc, but he signed to the practice squad last week, and he was one of the last members of the practice squad that signed. So that's what's going on there, and they have, I think, the ability to protect one more guy. I haven't seen who the fourth player is, but Sudfeld, Benjamin, and Virgin have been protected by the 49ers. They can't be snatched off the practice squad, and I wonder if a couple of those might be up for the game, particularly Travis Benjamin, to maybe return some punts. So that's what's going on there with some of the latest news. One big one I want to talk about really quick here is D. Ford, and he was at the podium this week talking about and acknowledging that he had a pitch count on himself. He's not going to be playing a full complement of snaps as we figured, but he said his role hasn't changed. Like, he's ready to come in and make big plays and make a difference for the 49ers defense. And it's one of the big, I think, shocking developments so far this offseason and this training camp and preseason. The D. Ford's actually going to hit the field in week one and play. I'm blown away with that. And Nick, I'm going to go to you first. What are your hopes for D. Ford? Are you surprised that he's able to play? And what do you expect to get from him for the 49ers?
So D. Ford's like when you get that jacket that you haven't worn, you know, in a couple of years, and you pull it out and you put your hand in the pocket and there's a $20 bill in it. And you're like, yeah, found money. What's up? Like, yeah, it's already yours, you know, but it still feels like new money, you know. And that's kind of how I feel with D. Ford. Like, I feel anything he gives you this year is going to be a bonus, because nobody expected him to come back. They were talking about retirement. They were talking about cutting him. You know, there's all this negative talk about D. Ford. And if he can come back and he can rush the passer on third downs or just get him in there on, you know, second and long, stuff like that, like, that could be huge opposite boast. That could be a big deal for the 49ers defense.
I really like that too, because That's perfect for D Ford because you found $20 in the pocket and you feel like, man, I made something on this. But you realize, oh, yeah, but the jacket cost $250. So I'm still kind of down money, but I found some extra cash that I didn't think was going to be there right now this winter. So that's good. So D Ford coming in to make an impact is funny. We're not on video for everybody else, but I could see Croc shaking his head like, D Virgin, I don't know, man. Don't have a scouting report there.
Not at all.
We're going to have to wait until we see this guy to know what D Virgin is all about. A lot of corners for the 49ers, a lot of bodies, and I think we're starting to see a little bit of why Josh Norman was signed, right, Croc? Because this week, to start the week, Emmanuel Mosley just doing work on the side, on a side field. So they wanted a a starting caliber veteran player. That's where the Josh Norman signing comes from. Kevin Givens working on the side as well, and Jalen Hurts. So, but obviously, yeah, the big thing was the cornerback move, right, Croc?
Yeah, and that was what we expected, right? We were like, hey, somebody's going to be hurt. And somebody kind of got at us on Twitter today, this morning. I woke up to it, and then they were like, Peacock and Croc, you guys are overthinking it. Just Dante Johnson. That's the reason why they brought Norman in. And I'm like, I just don't think that's the only reason why. And now you see Mosley's working on the side, and they're probably not sure if he's going to be able to go into the game and start.
And I wonder if when Mosley's 100%, I wonder if they actually bring Dante Johnson back and then cut Josh Norman so he doesn't make that $2.5 million incentive cash. I wonder how long Norman will actually be around, or if he's just early season insurance, or if he's actually gonna be around for a while. I guess it depends on how he plays in week one. And who knows, a couple practices, I guess he could start.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL is a dirty business, so I wouldn't take anything off the table. If they have to pay an extra $2.5 million and they're like, nah, let's just let him go to where he doesn't, you know, receive that money, I could see that definitely happening.
Brandon Ayuk back on the field. He was dealing with a nagging little injury. I don't think that anybody was any worried that he was going to miss week one. Trey Lance not wearing the splint on his finger, but also not throwing passes to start the week of practice, which makes me believe, and the 49ers don't need to get cute in week one. I think it's going to be Jimmy G and all Jimmy G. They're going to be really safe with Trey Lance and try to boat race the Lions and hand the ball off to Mostert and Sermon and Mitchell and Hasty and Juszczyk and Debo and hand it to everybody and try to just blow the Lions out in the first quarter with the ground game and not have to worry about too much else. That's my vision of how this game is going to go. Croc, do you disagree?
I don't know why I blinked out and I didn't hear anything you just said.
Oh, that's messed up. Croc's not even listening to me. He was like looking around, thinking about other things. He's probably thinking about D Virgin. He's like, oh man, I wonder what kind of backpedal he has. I'll put it to Wink then. What do you think, Wink? Is that the game plan this week? Just trying to run him off the field?
Yeah, when you got some horses like that in your backfield, you know, you definitely, the way Mostert looked in that first drive, you know, in the final preseason game, like, give him the ball. Let's see what Trey Sermon's got. I mean, that just sets up the play action. Maybe you take a couple shots downfield with Garoppolo. I'd like to see Trey Lance get in there a couple times, you know, if nothing else, just to kind of get his feet wet, you know, against a bad football team. I mean, again, we're assuming that they're going to be a bad football team. Things change. You know, all of a sudden, you know, the 49ers burst on the scene a few years ago. You know, like, this could happen to the Lions too. I don't think it's going to, but, you know, I'd love to see Trey Lance take some snaps, maybe a handful.
It might be somewhat hard to game plan for a team you haven't seen yet and a coaching staff that you don't know exactly how things are going to look. Right. Although the 49ers have done a great job, and if they've got a full complement of defensive linemen and Nick Bose is out there and D Ford is out there, we've seen them give Jared Goff a ton of problems, and he's got a worse team right now than he did when he's with the Rams, and the 49ers give him all kinds of problems. So I'm not super worried about it, but the Niners started slow last year too, right? So
I have some stats from Grant Cohn. Did you guys see those numbers?
No.
So Grant Cohn posted Jimmy Garoppolo's week one numbers, and it was 52 out of 93 passes, so a 56% passer, 686 yards, that's in three games, so that's not setting the world on fire at all. Four touchdowns, four INTs with a 75.8 passer rating and a 1-2 record. And the only win is that Tampa Bay game where he threw a pick six, but the 49ers had the two pick sixes for touchdowns the other way with Kelly Witherspoon and Richard Sherman that really kind of gave them the lead. So that's not too encouraging.
Did he, and is that including any Patriots, Garoppolo, or he didn't start a week one with the Patriots?
Oh, no, it might be just under the 49ers.
Just 49ers, okay.
Okay.
So I feel like as a member of the 49ers.
Okay, I was trying to think of when his starts were with the Patriots because it was early in a season, right?
Week one and two.
It was week one and two? Okay.
That would really boost those numbers up. So I can see why.
I feel like I remember him playing really well at least one of those games before before he got hurt.
Right.
How about this one?
Say whatever you want.
They can. Definitely.
We're going to make our predictions for the season, some season awards, how the 49ers are going to finish, over under on their 10.5 wins, maybe project out some division winners with the West and Super Bowl and maybe rookies of the year and some things like that, or maybe just 49ers sort of MVPs and rookies of the year. But before we get to that, really quick, Croc, and I know this is something that's up your alley, Mohamed Sanu switch numbers with Wisnowski. Sanu's now wearing number 6, and Wisnowski's wearing 18.
I saw it. Number 6 just isn't one of my favorite numbers. Number 18 isn't either. So neither one did anything for me. I think if you are Sanu and you're just like, I just want to get a single-digit number so I can be cool like everybody else.
Yeah.
I get it. But,
that's 6?
Yeah, it's not anything that kind of moves the needle for me.
Here's one. Is 18 or 81 better?
Oh, I'm going with the teens. You know me. I'm going with the teens. Right. I know you said 81. That's a legendary number. But if I'm Trent Sherfield, I would have definitely tried to get 18 or any other number that's not in the 80s.
Right. You don't want to be compared to T.O., man. That's some big shoes to fill.
You know, it's funny, too, because 80 is like legendary number. Jerry Rice, greatest of all time wide receiver. And 80 is such a good wide receiver number in my mind because that's what I grew up seeing. Mm-hmm. But like, could you imagine someone rolling out in the NBA with number 80? That would just be a bad number, right? I think it's only a good number because of what has been attached to it. And I think that's also important. It's sort of like band names. You know when you hear a band name and you're like, oh, that's terrible. But then the name of the band becomes what they sound like, and it doesn't really matter what they're called anymore. You know, like Pearl Jam. By itself, it's like, what is Pearl Jam? That's terrible.
It's dirty is what it is.
Yeah, but then you attach what the band has become, so it doesn't matter. And I kind of feel like numbers are that way because the player makes what the number is.
Right.
I don't think the number makes the player.
42. I get this all the time. There's all these people that are defending the number 42, and I'm like, dude, no matter how you spin it, I don't care how great Ronnie Lott is, the number is ugly. Nobody wants that number. They want to wear 42, 43 because Polamalu wore it, none of that. It's an ugly number. Ronnie Lott can be an amazing player, which he is, one of the all-time great defensive backs. But the number is ugly, regardless.
But if the number changed, it's not ugly anymore. It was made beautiful.
There
like
you go.
Like 23. 23 is Michael Jordan, right? Before Jordan wore it, nobody cared about 23.
That's a good point.
23 is a cool number.
It's all right.
It's a cool number.
It's not an elite number on its own.
What are elite numbers,
it changes,
then, guys?
It changes per, like, in each sport, too, though.
Yeah.
Like, in baseball, like, it's cool to be number 50-something, like, as a pitcher. You know, you can be a pitcher.
55 is the best number.
They just give pitchers bad numbers. It's kind of a bummer for pitchers because they're like, yeah, guess what? You get an lineman number.
I recently saw one wearing, like, 21. I'm like, yeah, it looks pretty cool. A lot better than that 50-something they'd be wearing. Like, Timmy Lincecum, as much swagger as he had in the long hair, he was, like, number 55.
55, yeah.
And it's
weird to have a small guy with a big number and a big guy with a small number. If it doesn't
fit, made him look bigger
and
stronger, more intimidating.
I guess so, yeah. And 55 is better than 54 or 56, too.
That's true.
Right. Anyway, all right.
56 forever.
Numbers don't matter. You know what number really matters? How many wins the 49ers have this year? Let's project what that number will be, shall we? Let's do that next. Always have fun on this podcast, picking our over-unders for NFL win totals this season. And you can, too, at betonline.ag. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest. Open now at betonline. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. I mean, come on, can't get any simpler than that. For new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. There's football, obviously, college and pro, basketball, boxing, baseball, and your favorite Vegas casino games as well. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, guys, let's start with the team stuff first, and then we'll talk about some player awards for the 49ers and the league. Right now, betonline.ag has the 49ers at 10.5 wins. So let's go around and we'll predict if the 49ers go under or over 10.5 wins. Wink, you are the guest. You get to go first.
Yeah, I think it's over. I think 11 or 12 makes a whole lot of sense. It's going to be tough, obviously. The West looks like it could be the best division in all of football. So you got to look at that and kind of be like, okay, those are probably going to be splits, you know? And then you're going to win the home ones. And then you start looking at, and they've got some tough games in there too, but they could easily start off this season 2-0 and head into that home opener against Green Bay, which is where you want to play Green Bay early in the season at home, especially if you're coming off two wins and primetime game, I believe. So I would probably, if I had to, you know, say it right now, I'd probably say 11-6. It would be the number.
All right. We've got an over from Mr. Winkler, 11 wins. Croc, what do you think? You like 10.5 over or under?
I was just on the radio yesterday, and I'm taking the over. I said 11-6 as well. Mm-hmm. I just look at this roster, man, and it's just too loaded. The craziest thing just, I don't know, it just dawned on me yesterday. I'm like, wow, this team is extremely healthy.
Croc shouldn't have said that. In fact, Croc cut out just now. His internet froze when he said that, which is like perfect timing because I don't know if he's knocking on wood right now.
Time they've gone into week one.
Oh, here he is.
This loaded, maybe outside of... Yeah, so no, I was saying 11-6. I'm taking the over. And I was just on the radio, you know, talking about it, so I got to stick with that. I just think this team is as loaded as they've ever been, as healthy as they've been, right? And that just dawned on me. I'm like, wow. Like, there are no major injuries to this team, knock on wood, all right? You look at the team, even last year, heading into the season, they were pretty healthy, but they didn't have any receivers going into the game. There was no Debo. There was no IU. Right now, it looks like everybody's going to be playing except for maybe – Emmanuel Mosley, and we'll see what happens with that. But I really like their chances, especially if they can stay relatively healthy.
Jalen Hurd's not going to play, but I don't think the 49ers need Jalen Hurd necessarily early. It looks like they're going to slow play him. I think he's a smart way to do it. He's kind of just going to get stashed for a bit, and hopefully he comes back to full health at some point and give you some production a little later in the season, maybe after that bye week or something like that. He's kind of on the active slash pup list in my mind. And maybe, who knows, maybe they're just going to not practice him all week to keep him as healthy as possible. Then he'll be up on game days. We'll see how that goes with Jalen Hurd. But you're right. The 49ers were even banged up last year before the season started. So they've got a better complement of weapons to start the year this year. And hopefully Jimmy G can come out of the gate firing and start a little quicker, because I think if it's going to go over for the 49ers, it's got to start in those first couple of weeks. You got to go 2-0, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I'm with you guys. I think 11 is the perfect number. It's moved up. It was 10. Vegas had the number at 10, which I liked better, because then you could push on 10 and then you could win on 11. I don't like losing a bet with 10 wins, because I think the 49ers could be at 10. So 10.5 is a sneaky number with Vegas, and I don't like those odds nearly as much. There's a big half a game there. Maybe if there's a lot of money coming in and then they move it back down to 10, I would maybe take that bet. But then that way you could push 10, because I think they're definitely, it's a 9-win season, even though that's over 500, right? That would be a disappointing year for the 49ers, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on who's the quarterback the whole time. If you have Trey Lance the whole time and you go 9-8, you can live with that. Feel like you can build off of that. But if you have Jimmy the whole time and he's supposed to be your savior, or how everybody views him, and you go 9-8, that's not ideal.
No, I think this team is built for the Super Bowl. I think anything less than 10 games is going to be a disappointment, regardless of who's under center.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to go over two. I don't feel super strong about it, because let's say they sputter out of the gate. Then do you just sort of like, because so Detroit, Philly, then you got Green Bay, Seattle, Arizona. It gets a little bit difficult in that stretch. Then you got a bye week. Mm-hmm. And if you're not really like in a situation where you're feeling good, if you're not at least three or four wins out of that, then you're like, dude, let's go to the rookie. And then once that happens, there could be some hiccups and you could win, you lose a few games, and then maybe a 9-7 season would feel pretty good. So you're right about that, Croc. There's a number of ways this could go. How's the two quarterback thing going to look? Is it going to be mostly Jimmy early? Is it going to be mostly Trey at the end of the season? Is it going to be mixed in both all season long? Does everyone stay healthy? So there's so many things we saw last year, what can happen to a team. And again, a couple of injuries, Bosa, got to stay healthy. There's some engines that drive this thing for the 49ers. Right now, everybody's healthy. So if this team stays healthy, relatively, they're a good team. And they better win 11 games, and they better be in the playoffs.
Yeah, with a defense like this, I think that you're in every game as long as there's health. I mean, we rarely talk about Fred Warner because he's so we just figure he's going to be there. He's going to be healthy. He's going to make plays because that's all he's done in the NFL. That's kind of the centerpiece of that defense. I think as long as he's there and you got, you know, some edge rushers that can actually get after the quarterback. Yeah, I think it's a championship team.
I got to be honest, though. I don't like you putting that out there. Why'd you have to bring up Fred Warner's name? Why'd you have to do that?
Is that why you guys don't talk about it?
we just want everything to stay as it is. Don't bring him up. Don't mention him. Just let him hang out in the corner of the room. We all know he's there. We know he's all pro Fred. Let's just let that hang out and continue to happen. Do you think the 49ers win the West? Who's going to win the West? Croc. Let's go to you, Croc.
It's always hard to bet against the Seahawks just because the head coach and the quarterback, they've been so consistent, always in the playoffs. Also hard to bet against the Rams. I mean, three out of last 4 years, they have, they've been in the playoffs and they haven't had a losing season as long as McVay's gone there. 49ers are the one team that has all the hype, but they have one winning season in 4 years for obvious reasons, you know, quarterback, you know, healthy issues and whatnot. So my heart says, oh, 49ers, of course, they probably have one of the best rosters. But history shows it's probably going to be the Rams or the Seahawks.
Speaking of Grant Cohn, he put a tweet out there, which was fun because everyone, you know, especially Seahawks fans that saw it got really mad because his tweet was basically like, yeah, the Seahawks are the worst team in the NFC West. But they have been, and it's never mattered. On the paper, the Seahawks on paper are never as good as the Seahawks on Sundays and in real life. Like, unless Russell Wilson gets hurt, that team's going to be good. And my question with the Rams is, going from Goff to Stafford better for the team? Is it going to help them more than the loss of Brandon Staley as defensive coordinator? Because that was really big for them last year. So I think they can overcome that. Did they learn from Brandon Staley? Can they use his principles on that defense still and sort of just keep that going? But that's a big loss. And people always point to Stafford, but they forget about the loss of Brandon Staley. So that might even just keep things even if the defense falls off a little bit. But they do have some horses there on defense. So I'm going to go Rams. I'll predict Rams. And I think maybe this is the year the 49ers finish second with the Seahawks actually finishing third. But that's tough. This is going to be a dogfight all year long, and you can't count the Cardinals either because they're really good. And so to me, it's either the Seahawks finally fall off a little bit or Russell Wilson's the league MVP. You know, it's one of those two for me, and we'll see how it goes. And so actually we'll go with that and say league MVP next, Super Bowl pick next, and then maybe some team awards for the 49ers as well coming up to finish up this winky Wednesday of Locked On 49ers. Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. There is something for everyone at Built.com. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out because there's so many good ones. Peanut butter, my number one. You got coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. Those are the originals, but they are always rolling out specialty flavors. So go to Built.com, buy yourself a box, mix your own box of Built Bars. Not only are those Built Bar flavors the best tasting protein bar out there, they are healthy too. Check out the macros, 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories ranging from 130 to 180. Only 4 or 5 grams of sugar and only 4 or 5 grams of net carbs in every bar. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy, and Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% at Built.com. Let's make the most of this football season, shall we? There is a better way to create your custom pool at RunYourPool.com, the premier sports pool hosting service. Run Your Pool makes it ridiculously easy to run a football pool with friends, family, or office mates. They offer dozens of formats, including Survivor, Pick'em, Squares, Margin, Confidence Pools, 33, and more. Run Your Pool hosts formats for NFL and college football with one-week games, full season, playoffs, or for the Super Bowl. Unlike other fantasy sports platforms, Run Your Pool has options and settings to make it your own. You can even brand your pool for your local business, bar, or restaurant. Reconnect with friends and join nearly 2 million football fans to make every game action-packed this season. Check them out today and get $10 off at runyourpool.com/lockedon or use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Anywhere, everywhere in the world, Run Your Pool helps friends and colleagues compete this NFL season. The season starts September 9th. Start today at runyourpool.com/lockedon and have your pool up and running in minutes. Getting ready for that regular season, runyourpool.com/lockedon. Sorry, Wink. Skipped you with the NFC West. Who is your... I mean, I already know you're going to pick the 49ers, so can we just move on?
Yep.
Okay.
No, I mean, obviously, with the Rams, I think they did get better. I think they got a better quarterback. Yeah, you mentioned the defensive coordinator leaving. That sucks, but that's still going to be a good defense. So the Rams definitely worry me. The Seahawks, you mentioned it, as long as Russell Wilson's under center, they're a threat. They got some great vertical threats there as well with Lockett and Metcalf. But no one's talking about the Cardinals, and that is the wild card in this division, and that scares me, because if Kyler Murray takes that next step and he really becomes, you know, a lot of people predict him to be, which is a top five, top three, top quarterback in the NFL, then they really got a shot. But I think as long as the 49ers stay healthy and that run game's intact, they easily have the best running, you know, team in the NFC West, maybe in the entire NFL. And if you get a good mix and match of Lance and Garoppolo, which I'm going to predict all season, I think that's going to be a thing. I think it's going to grow more and more every single week. I think it's going to be a good thing. I think that we're going to see Kyle Shanahan change the NFL with this two quarterback system. So stick around. Yeah. Watch it. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to really put defensive coordinators on their heels. And I think the 49ers are going to win the West. I think they're going to beat up each other. I think it may be a tie where the tiebreaker, you know, is what settles the West. But I can't bet against 49ers.
Yeah, it's a good point. They might beat up on each other enough that even if three teams or even all four teams make it out of the West into the playoffs, none of them have like a one seed because their records are condensed a little bit because they beat up on each other a little bit. Super Bowl champion, Croc, who do you like this year? Who's your pick to win the Super Bowl?
Oh, man. I want to say Buffalo because I do feel like they're going to be really good, but I just don't think they have the run game to be consistently good and take some pressure off of their quarterback. So I think the easy thing to say is the Kansas City Chiefs on the AFC. I don't want to say that, but that's the easy thing. And then I'm going to go with a different team in the NFC. You know, if I'm leaving the 49ers out of this, I'll go with Green Bay. I just think they have, you know, terrific playmakers on defense with Jaire Alexander, one of the top cornerbacks in the league. Those edge rushers really like what they got going on there. And then anytime you have Aaron Rodgers, you're always going to be in the mix with Devontae Adams as well. So I'll go with Kansas City against Green Bay.
Ooh, farewell tour for Aaron Rodgers, getting over the hump. As long as the Niners aren't in the NFC Championship game, I think the backers could potentially pull that off. Wink, who do you like in the Super Bowl?
I mean, I'm not going to leave the 49ers out of this thing because they got that defense, man. As long as it stays healthy and they keep trotting out there on the field and getting after the quarterback, I think that, you know, that could be a championship team right there. You know, there's the running game and the weapons now on offense. Bring it. Let's not mention Kittle. I mean, you don't want to talk about guys that you don't want getting hurt. I'll leave them out of my mouth. But yeah, I love the 49ers, obviously. And if you mentioned Buffalo, I think that Buffalo can get enough out of Moss and Singletary there in the run game. And yeah, I really like what they've done there on defense, and Buffalo as well. And Josh Allen could easily be the MVP in the NFL this year. So I would go Buffalo 49ers with the 49ers winning.
Ooh, throwback to the early 90s.
I have a question
for Chris Berman.
So, Wink, do you think if Garoppolo is in the situation, because he was in a very great, you know, like ideal situation in the 49ers Super Bowl run a couple years ago, do you think if Garoppolo ends up having to do more and maybe have to throw the 49ers out of some certain situations and have to really duel it out with a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, does that change how you feel? Because I think right now we're all leaning on the fact that the run game will be terrific, defense will be terrific, and everything will be smooth sailing.
Well, for me, again, I said it earlier, I think it's going to be a split share by the end of the season. But when it comes down to December and playoffs, I think you're going to see a lot of Trey Lance. I don't think it's going to have to be all on Garoppolo's shoulders. I think that they're going to slowly bring him along. I think we saw a little blueprint of what Kyle wants to do. And that's both guys in there. Maybe not as much. You know, it's not going to be like every other play where it's high school and they're running in the plays, you know, like that sort of thing. But I really think that, yeah, you need to come back at the end of the game. Maybe you do see more Trey Lance airing it out down the field. You know, maybe they just kind of pick and choose the situations for these guys. Because Garoppolo, they've said it from the beginning, when they got Trey Lance, Garoppolo plays better when there's pressure. He plays better when he's being pushed. And Trey Lance is doing that. And Trey Lance is going to continue to do that. So do I have complete faith that Garoppolo could do it by himself at the end of the season? I mean, honestly, you said, you know, Aaron Rodgers on the field, you have a chance to win every football game. I don't necessarily feel the same way about Jimmy Garoppolo, because why would I? He's never won a championship. He's had one good season in the NFL. But I love the idea of Garoppolo and Lance. You know, why not? If you got two good running backs, you're not going to sit one of them on the field because he's on the bench because he's a rookie. You know, you're going to get them both in there. You're going to put them both in good situations for them to win. And I think the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan are going to figure out ways to do that for the 49er quarterbacks.
That's tough. I can't envision a two quarterback situation working so well that it lasts all the way through February and they sort of throw a perfect game in the playoffs. I mean, it just seems like too difficult of a thing to do, but it only takes one time to happen. You know,
right.
There's a reason we've never seen that the rookie quarterback take a team to the Super Bowl. You know, so you would think that it's a red hot Jimmy Garoppolo in the defense, you know, similar to the 2019 recipe that gets them to the Super Bowl if they do get there. And especially if they hand it over to Trey Lance full time, it's just harder to see the 49ers getting all the way there and expecting that rookie to carry a team and be ready at 21 years old. Not impossible, very, very unlikely. So it's hard for me to project. So I'm going to throw a dark horse team out there for you guys. How about the Los Angeles Chargers? How about how about an all LA Super Bowl, Chargers Rams?
I need a good running back. I don't think the Chargers have that. I don't think
Eckler. Come on,
Nah,
Eckler's going high in fantasy.
Eckler's the dude, especially PPR leagues. But look, they got Derwin James, they got Bosa, they got Brandon Staley from the Rams.
True.
Looking after that defense, I think the Chargers defense could make a huge leap this year. And we saw it last year. We saw it with Mahomes a couple years ago. Last year with Josh Allen, they've got a young superstar quarterback that is now had gotten his feet wet and could be what maybe Trey Lance is next year, you know, but ready for the big time. And I think Justin Herbert could be that guy. So the Chargers and weapons on offense to throw to, and they've fixed their offensive line too. So I like, there's a lot the Chargers have going for them. Again, it's gonna be tough to get through the Chiefs, but I like the Bills a little bit too, but I'm just going to throw this out there just because it's fun. And it's a dark horse team in the Super Bowl, the Los Angeles Chargers.
Against whom? Who are they playing?
The Rams. I'm gonna go all LA just because it's fun.
All LA.
I'm not putting money on this thing to happen, but that's what I'm gonna throw out there, and then it'll be all about Brandon Staley if he can get revenge on his old team and if he can out coach Sean McVay. Can't
like
count out the Packers.
Can't
count out anybody
champions.
In the NFC West. Was that?
None of us mentioned the defending champions and Tom Brady.
That's no fun. I don't want to talk about the Chiefs or the Bucks. They've been talked about way too much.
I mentioned them. I mean, I mentioned them in the sense of, do you feel comfortable if Garoppolo had to duel it out against Tom Brady?
Right.
What would that look like? Because, I mean, shoot, man, 49ers, they were in a great situation playing against the Vikings. They just were able to take the ball out of Garoppolo's hands when he was trying to throw all those interceptions.
And they did it, and they did it well.
All right, let's do this. Let's go rapid fire to finish it up. 49ers team awards, 49ers MVP. And if you pick an offensive player, then you got to pick defensive player of the year. If you pick a defensive player for MVP, you got to pick an offensive player of the year. So let's do that. Let's start with 49ers MVP. Who will be the most valuable 49er this season, Wink?
Nick Bosa. I think he's going to get 18 sacks. I think he's going to just destroy the league. Yeah. I mean, he might be pushing close to 20 towards the end of the season.
Ooh, I like
and it. You start seeing a whole lot of double teams, and then maybe D Ford, you know, on the other side, maybe Armstead on the other side gets a little bit, you know, gets a little extra something. But yeah, I love Bosa. I love him coming back. I love how he's going to be on fire. He's going to be hungry. He's going to want it.
Give him awards. Give him MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. Give him Comeback Player of the Year. Give Bosa everything if that's the case. I'll say mine now because I was going to pick Bosa too because I think he is the most valuable player for the 49ers. He's looking sleek. If he comes back even quicker and faster and he was already so good as a rookie, that's a scary proposition for opposing quarterbacks, and he's that type of guy. So I didn't want to put a number that high, but 18 to 20 sacks, it's not impossible. The guys have done that.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
I like it, Wink. I like it, Wink. I'm going Bosa too. Croc, who do you have for 49ers MVP this year?
I'm going to go with Jimmy Ward. I think this is the season where he finally gets to, you know, be unleashed. Utilize him more, let him freelance a little bit, read some quarterbacks, read some concepts, jump plays, make some interceptions, make some big plays, and kind of really lead this secondary that, for whatever reason, a lot of people around the league and fan base are really down on.
All right, we all picked defensive players, and yeah, I like you going off the board a little bit with Jimmy Ward. I definitely wasn't expecting that, and I'm sure a lot of listeners weren't either, and I like you going with your DBs, staying true to your guys back there. Like that a lot. Jimmy Ward hasn't gotten the respect he deserves a lot of times, so I like giving guys shout-outs that haven't gotten enough of those, so like hearing Jimmy Ward's name. We all picked defensive players, so offensive player of the year, Wink?
George Kittle, come back healthy, you know, let's go out there, catch 80 balls. Get over 1,000 yards, maybe closer to 12 or 1,300, you know, just block like he's done forever. You know, just be that leader on that offense, George Kittle.
Croc?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to kind of go a little bit off again, and I'm going to go with Raheem Mostert.
Love it.
I think he's going to be healthy all season, and those explosive plays that we've seen from him, we're going to get those more consistently. A lot of people think that the rookie, Trey Sermon, is going to get more carries. As a matter of fact, he's kind of averaging going higher in fantasy, which I thought was wild. Ah, man, I'm going with Raheem Mostert. He's going to be explosive. I'm talking about 1,500-yard rusher. Mm. Let's go.
He's going to stay healthy. He's going to get all his touches. And, dude, 6 yards per carry in Shanahan's offense. And the offensive line is primed. And that's where I was going, is the offensive line. I'm going to say Trent Williams. And, look, and he's going to match up with both of the guys you talked about. And I think a lot of people want to throw Brandon Ayuk out there, or, you know, Debo, whoever, one of the quarterbacks, and that's totally fine too. And I would have no problem with those picks. I'm going to say Trent Williams. And I think we're going to see a lot of times where Trent Williams is lined up with George Kittle to the left of him, and they're just blowing people up. And they did it in the preseason on a rep, and it's like, oh God, this is going to be fun. And a lot of those yards could go to Raheem Mostert. So I think the combination of all three guys we picked is going to be a big reason the 49ers win on offense. And I think they're going to lean on the ground game with Garoppolo quarterback or with Trey Lance at quarterback, either way. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And so that guy's got to stay healthy. He's only played 16 games twice in his career, Trent Williams, and he already got his knee drained, I think, or a couple weeks ago. So look, I'm going out on a limb a little bit to go with a lineman for offensive player of the year, but he's that good. And the 49ers just keep running left.
Mm-hmm.
How about rookie of the year? Is it going to be Trey Lance? Is it that easy just to say Trey Lance? I'm pretty sure none of us are going to pick the second-round pick guard out of Notre Dame who might not play much at all. I think it was Matt Maiocco earlier this week that basically said he might redshirt the entire year, never really play.
That's rough.
Trey Lance, though, is he going to play enough? Is he going to be on the field enough to be the rookie of the year? Or are we going to have to go deeper into the draft to find this year's highest productive rookie? Croc says yes.
I know where Croc's going.
Where do you think I'm going?
Lenore.
Nope.
Everybody knows what? You're going Lenore. Oh, come on.
Hufanga. I think Hufanga is the one guy that can get on the field pretty much right away.
Yeah.
49ers have not had their strong safety in Joquiski Tart. I think he's a terrific football player, but he hasn't been able to, you know, stay healthy. Matter of fact, I think I looked it up, and he's had, like, no season where he played every game, not one. So I do think there's going to be opportunity for Hufanga to get on the field. I think they really like him. I like his energy. I think he's a playmaker. Seems like he kind of has a knack for just being around the ball. I'm going to go with Hufanga.
I like it.
Or Huff. And he's Huff, whatever they call him.
Huff. He's going to be on the field too. Special teams all pro, if not defensive rookie of the year for the 49ers. Wink?
I like Trey Sermon. You know, I love your pick with Mostert. I do think he could get 1,500 yards. But I think realistically, it'd probably be closer to 1,200. Throw in another 800 from Sermon. You know, maybe he is that bigger back. You know, you put him in a little towards the goal line. Maybe Mostert doesn't quite get as much work there. I don't know. I really like Sermon. I think he's going to get a lot of action just because they want to keep those guys fresh. Plus, with Mostert's injury history, I don't think you overwork him. You kind of want to keep him fresh towards the end of the season. I think we see a lot of Trey Sermon this year, and I like it.
It's going to be Trey Lance. It better be Trey Lance, even if he plays only a slim part-time role. But taking Trey Lance out of it, let's have some fun. Croc, smart going with one of those fifth-round picks, but I'm going to go even later. I'm going to say Elijah Mitchell. He's the rookie nobody's talking about. I think he has a chance to return some kicks. Maybe he takes one to the house. I think he can get worked in catching the ball out of the backfield if there's any injuries to either one of the other running backs that we've both mentioned already in this podcast. Neither one of those guys has really carried the load, college or pro, with Sermon or Raheem Mostert. And so I think they're going to work a committee backfield system. And if either one of them is hurt, the next guy up might be Elijah Mitchell. So he might get quite a bit of run. Who knows? Maybe it's a tandem of rookie running backs in Sermon and Mitchell if Raheem Mostert gets hurt. Although I do think Raheem Mostert is the most talented running back on the 49ers, and I think it's a shame and a steal with how late he's going in fantasy football drafts. So I do like that one. But I just want to throw a dark horse player out there, and I'll go with Elijah Mitchell.
I do like the Lenore a lot, too. I think you're going to see him play a lot this year, and I think he's going to play well.
I would have picked Lenore if it wasn't for the Josh Norman signing, because I think that's the coaching staff telling us we don't want to put him on the field that much yet. So yeah, he might not play enough to, you
right.
know,
it's
to
early.
That that's true.
Bring him in there slow.
All right, good stuff, guys. That is the 49ers 2021 prediction show. Wink's going to be out of – where are you going, Wink, next week?
Yosemite. For my first time.
Wink's going to Yosemite, so we're going to have to figure out a different day that he maybe sneaks on with us because he won't be around for a Wednesday show, but we got to get his reactions to week one. So maybe we'll get him Sunday night on the pod, maybe Monday or Tuesday on the pod. We'll have a little Wink, at least one segment of Wink. Croc and I back tomorrow with Matt Derry, host of Locked On Lions, doing a little crossover as we will do all season long on Thursdays. And then Croc and I previewing week one Detroit Lions, getting you ready for Action Friday.
Woo!
Right here, Locked On 49ers.
See ya.